He says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall do what? Well, he shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, reaping life everlasting means the fruits of the Spirit and means the glorious prospect of the future. I think a great many Christians really ought to be fearful of the return of Christ for his own, because we go before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the flesh. My friend, you may be saved, but it could be very embarrassing for you in that day when you give an account of your life to him. And John mentions the fact that it's possible to be ashamed at his appearing. Because if you're going to live in the flesh and produce the things of the flesh, now I'm not saying you lose your salvation. I don't think you do. But you're sure going to lose a reward. And you're going to see that very candidly. It's going to be a pretty dark day for you to stand before him. But now there's the other side of the coin here, and it's the bright side. He put up the red light. Now he puts up the green light. Notice verse 9. Now here is something for your comfort and your encouragement. And notice what he says. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, Christian friend, may I say this to you, and I know I'm speaking today out yonder to folk that say, as a father said to me some time ago, I'm concerned about my boys. A doctor said that to me. He says, the tide is against me. Schools are against me. Other parents seem to be against me, and friends are. But he says, I want to raise my boys right. And you sow the right seed, friend. You'll reap it. Just be patient, he says. Let us not be weary in well-doing. When the time comes, due season, you'll reap. You can't go out and cut grain in Kansas in January. You got to wait till the time of reaping comes. So just keep sowing, brother. You're having your problems and difficulties today. Well, keep sowing the Word of God. And the Lord says the Word of God will not return to him void. It's like rain that comes down from heaven. And you sow it, it'll bring the harvest in at the right time. You remember Abraham believed God and he walked with God in the land of Canaan, and the Canaanite was then in the land. He was an idolater and wicked man. And then there came this little boy, Isaac, in his home, and he grew up there, became a grown man. One day, Abraham took him under the top of Mount Moriah. And what happened? Well, he offered him there, but God wouldn't let him go through with it. And Abraham sowed to the Spirit, and he reaped life everlasting. Jochebed, she was the mother of Moses down yonder in Egypt. She taught that little boy of hers, because she became his nursemaid. And Egypt was against her, and paganism was against her, and pleasures of Egypt were against her, and the philosophy of Egypt and the religion of Egypt, everything was against her. But she told Moses about Abraham, and she told Moses about God's call and purpose, and she saw him grow up to look like an Egyptian next to Pharaoh. But one day there came that time when he forsook the pleasures of Egypt and the sin of Egypt, and he went out and took his place with God's people. May I say to you, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. There's that man David. His sin is glaring. We think of him as a cruel man. I know that when I talked about David some time ago, I had letters from all over the country, and they just said, my, how terrible that fellow is, and you defended him. Well, I did. You know, it's interesting. You can put a drop of ink on a white linen tablecloth, and you can see it almost a mile away. But a drop of ink can fall on a black suit, and it's not noticed. And the reason that David is noticed, all the other kings were living it up. David committed one sin that just stands out. And he had a heart for God, and even in his confession, he reveals his hunger and thirst for God. As the heart panteth after the water brook, he says, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. And you know, he became the standard and pattern for the kings in his line. It's a human standard, but he became the standard. Why? Because If you're going to sow, you're going to reap, friends. He paid the penalty. He had sorrow in his home. But I want to tell you, God made him the example for every king after that. This is a marvelous passage of Scripture. So wherever you are and whoever you are today, you may say, I'm in a hard place. Well, you sow the Word of God, and God will see to it you're going to reap one of these days. And you can't reap until it's harvest, friends. You have to wait till then. But we need to be faithful in sowing the seed, because there's a law of God. God's not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you'll reap. Now, if you'll sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. You sow to the flesh, it's going to be corruption, friends, one of these days. Now, he moves on. He says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, and especially unto them who are the household of faith. We ought to be do-gooders. Now, I recognize today that liberalism, the entire religion of liberalism, is the do-good religion. But very candidly, I don't think they do much good. Now, when the cameras were down in Watts, the liberal was very much in evidence there. That was during the time of the riots. We had already started years ago a school down there. It's running down there today. The liberal has left because the TV cameras are not down there anymore. He's not doing anything. Our school is still in existence. Now, I believe in doing good, but you've got to have the right foundation under the do-gooder process, friends. And the thing is to put all of the Epistle of Galatians, the gospel of the grace of God, and walking in the Spirit of God. And when that takes place and the fruit of the Spirit is produced, then, my friend, you're going to do good. Do good to all men, especially do good to believers today. Oh, how important this is.